sincerity tradition, and the Gemara quoted three psukim to indicate that there is a principle of shlucha shalavim kamoichem. The one passage was regarding hafashas truma, that one can appoint a shliach to be mafash truma for him. The other passage was regarding the get, that one can, the husband can give a get to his wife by the shliach, he doesn't have to give the get in person. And the third passage was, in connection with shlita tapavam, that the baal hakorban needs not do the shlita tapavam in person, he can appoint a shliach, and the shliach can shef the korban for him. We want to explain why there was a need for all of the three stupid. That if you'd only have, let's say, the two by the get, the one by the get, and the one by the hafashas truma, I would have thought that the matter of shlitas korbanos is a more serious thing, because it has to do with korbanos, and kosher is a higher kedusha than truma. I would have thought that by shlitas korbanos, the baal korban must do the shlita in person, and he cannot appoint the shlita. That's why I need all of the three. So we got up to the fourth line from the bottom of Daf Mem Aleph on the day. Mor asked the kasha that he just explained that you really need all of the three sources of truma. And the third topic was the one regarding Shlitas HaKorban. That was learned from a brayta where Rabbi Shua ben Korcha was quoted. Amar Rabbi Shua ben Korcha, Minayim Shal Shlucha Shalom Kemoisa. Rabbi Shua ben Korcha was a tanna. The question is exactly who he was. But Rashi is only saying that he was the son of Rabbi Akiva. And Akiva was bull, so he was called Korcha. Kerech is a bull prince. Rashi thinks that that, and the Gemara says in one place that Ben Azai is speaking about the other Chachamim who were contemporaries of him. The Mahdi Allah, like he says, these guys don't know how to learn. And all of these people are Shlitas Hashum. They're like onion shells to me. I'm the only one that knows how to learn, except for that baldy over there. Put me that Kereach Hazel. As he said, that's referring to Rabbi Akiva, who was bald. And Rabbi Shua Makarfa was the son of Rabbi Akiva. The place is that there's a little bit of a standard issue. You should go down in history as Rabbi Shua Makarfa, Rabbi Shua, the son of the bald one. That's how you call Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says, I'm the Chana Shem of Habeya, I'm the Chana Shem of Habeya. Call a fellow baldy or fat so skinny, you call him a shame of an eye. But the Gemara says, you do the other my thoughts, are you going to call Rabbi Akiva to have all the generations who didn't know that Korcha, the bald one? Masach Mr. Pesach says, no, there was a person by the name of Korcha who had a son, Yeshua. That was his name, Yeshua ben Korcha. So whoever he was, and he was a Tanna. He lived in the spirit of the Tannaim. But the Gemara quoted the third source, the third pasuk to indicate that Shlita's work was regarding Shlita's HaKadonis, the pasuk of Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, in connection with Shlitas HaKorban Zeh. So the Gemara has on the fourth line from the bottom of Mem Aleph on the day, so the Gemara says this is all fine and well, hey Icha, everything is Icha, everything is good, Rabbi Shua ben Korcha, who claims that that Pasuk was Shachtoah, so called Kahaladat, Yisrael ben Ha'agoyim. The Pasuk says that all of the members of the Jewish nation should shef the Korban Zeh. How can everybody shef the Korban Zeh? That's impossible. One person shef somebody else is everybody else. So Rabbi Shua ben Korcha says, that Pasuk teaches us that Shlucha Shalom Kemoisa. The one person shef on the earth is everybody functioning as their Shliach. So the Gemara says that's good that you have this series of the three Pesukim, even the third Pasuk regarding Shlitas HaTeso, that's good to find Rabbi Shua ben Korcha. But there is another Tanna who is a contemporary, this is Ella Rabbi Yoina, son of the Tanna, who uses up this Pasuk for a different purpose. He interprets that the Drosha of the Pasuk, the Matik Leila Haikro, He interprets that pasuk with Rosh Hashanah. He says that the pasuk teaches me a different thing. We know Allah. So how do we know that Dina Shlichus by Shlita's Korban was going to that time of the Samuel? We have the following bright quote, Rabbi Yonatan Joshua. Rabbi Yonatan, I'm there. Rabbi Yonatan has a comment on that pasuk. Rashi explains on the top of Nen Beis Amanalef what the issue is. Rashi explains as follows. The din is that in the Korban Pesach, there are two mitzvahs. One mitzvah of Shchitas HaPesach. You should shech the Korban. Shchita means HaKorban HaKorban. You should slaughter the Korban. Whenever you bring a Korban, there are four avodas that are ma'akev. There are four of the dalal avodas that are ma'akev. That if you don't do those dalal avodas, the Korban is not kosher. You're not going to the mitzvah. The dalal avodas consist of Shchita, the Shchita of the extraordinary animal. Kabbalah Kabbalah, you have to have a current standing with a cup, special metal container, in order to collect the dung. You have to hold it in the right hand, you're holding it wrong. You have to hold it in the right, the crane, not a crane. You have a crane standing, not sitting. You have to hold a metal cup in the right hand and collect the dung with blood that's gushing out from the neck of the animal while someone else shefts it. Then you have to walk off the carrying of the dung also on the right hand from wherever you are until it is there. And then you have the zikas adam on the mizbeach. Then of course you're supposed to have the hakkara thing, you're supposed to burn the fat on top of the mizbeach. But that's not miyakit. If you didn't get around to burning the fat, that got lost, and it became mixed more, they were thrown out on the plate. Whatever happened, the thing is that's not miyakit in the Korban. The only thing that's not in the carbon is the Dalit Avodah Sadam. These four Avodahs that must be done with the Dam. Namely, the Shechita. Shechita is also considered the first of the Avodah Sadam, because the Shechita is for the purpose of killing the animal that describes that. But it's called an Avodah because it's for the purpose of separating the Dam from the animal. That's why it was supposed to be Nidrak on the death. That's why it's the first of the Dalit Avodah Sadam. So you have the Shechita, the slaughtering of the animal, the Kabbalah, the collecting of the blood and the metal police, the Hailaka, the carrying of the Dam, and the Jikas Adam. So the din is that in the Korban Pesach, there are two parts to the mitzvah. One is that everybody should participate in the offering of the Korban Pesach, that you should pitch in, you should partially pay for the, you don't buy Korban Pesach all by yourself. 25 people, 100 people buy this, almost a Chabur, the whole Chabur buy the Korban Pesach together. And all of those people who participated in the purchase of the Korban Pesach, when it's offered under the death, and do the Shechita, Kabbalah, Lachem Rike, that everybody gave to the mitzvah of Hakronah Tapesah. That's mitzvah number one. Then we have mitzvah number two, Achilah Tapesah, is a mitzvah to eat the carbon pesach. So the din is that Achilah Tapesah is not Ne'akedah. That means like this. What happens if somebody by mistake or lazy, b'shegim, whatever, just didn't participate in Hakronah Tapesah? He's supposed to offer the carbon pesach on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, the most busy time. Tells us for Erev Pesach in the afternoon. Everybody comes to Yerushalayim. They're not even home. Everybody's crowded in Yerushalayim. Everybody has to participate in the Shechita Pesach. Then on the Leil Pesach, the night of the Seder, in the middle of the Seder, you say Haggadah before and Haggadah after. In the middle of the Seder, you eat the meal, that's when you eat the Korban Pesach. So the thing is, what happens if somebody never offered a Korban Pesach that year? He was sick in the hospital, he was Sunday, whatever, he lived far away, couldn't make it. But the thing is, if the person didn't participate in Haggadah Pesach, and Erev Pesach Rishon, and you dalad mitzvah in the afternoon, he should bring a Pesach Sheni. So it's the only carbon that you can make up a month later. You didn't bring it on the 14th of Nisan, you bring it on the 14th of the year, also in the afternoon, late in the afternoon. Pesach Sheni. What happens, however, if a person participates in the Shechitas HaPesach? In other words, he paid for, to become a Menuna, to be one of the members of the Chaburah, one of the partners offering one carbon. That's 100 people went in the Shechitas to buy one animal. And then they came time to eat it, he got sick. And whatever, he couldn't show up to the eating. But if he participated in the Shechita, it's not telling the Shechita, the Kabbalah, the Halacha, the Drikya. By the time the Dam was recorded with Nizrak, he was okay, he was feeling all right. And at that time he was able to eat the Korban Pesach, he wasn't sick yet, he wasn't Tomei yet. So since he was Yotzei the Nitzav HaKrovet HaKorban Pesach, even though later on he gets sick, and or he has to go for the Tuach Nefesh purposes, somebody died, he has to fly out of the country, whatever, he can't make it right that he never gets to eat the Korban Pesach. The is that he does not have to make up the Korban Pesach and Pesach Sheni. He doesn't have to participate in Pesach Sheni. The only one who wasn't even used to the HaKorban Pesach. The din is that there are really two different mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of HaKorban Pesach and there's a mitzvah of Achilah HaKorban. And he's supposed to do both. It's not Sam the Achilah, you do HaKorban Achilah, and that he ever did Yotzei with HaKorban. There's two different mitzvahs. If at the end you only had Akrav, you didn't have Akilah, then you're not Yotzei the mitzvah of Akilah. The second and the second mitzvah, can't be the two different mitzvahs, and then you're not mitzvahs. Normally when I bring, let's say, a carbon, I bring a carbon shalomim, the Beis HaMikdash. I give it to the Kohanim, they do the Akrav, and I'm Yotzei the mitzvah of Akrav. I don't have any mitzvah to eat it. I don't have to eat it. I have to see to it that it's eaten up. It says, well, if it's here in the name of Akrav, I shouldn't leave any of the meat over the morning. I have to invite a lot of people to eat, but I don't have to eat myself. Let's say I'm a vegetarian or whatever, I don't feel well. So I can bring a carbon shlomim without feeling well. I can bring a carbon shlomim and invite many people to eat it up, to make sure that all of the people eat it up before this man is up, before it becomes Mosar. A carbon shlomim has 2 days to eat. A carbon totem has to eat up in 1 day. But there's no thing that I have to eat. In a carbon pesach, however, the Torah writes explicitly there are two distinct mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah to participate in the HaKrovet HaPesach, that I should be in the moon on a carbon and the Kohanim should offer on my behalf, on behalf of all of those who are members of our Kabbalah. And the second step of this is that you have to do the Achil also. Whether you like it, even a 4-year old, you are a vegetarian, but on Pesach night, whether you like it or not, you have to eat a kezayit. You don't have to eat a whole bunch, you have to eat a kezayit, a little bit, the size of a half an egg. And to the kezayit of meat of the carbon dose. But what happens if a person participated in the Shechita Pesach? That means that he paid for a carbon and he was shuppet, and the carbon is offered on his behalf, and he never got to do the Achila, then the Halacha says he doesn't have to bring a Pesach Sheni. Not allowed to. He's not allowed to. He doesn't have to bring an Halacha, because carbon Pesach is not bo ben edim and adobah. It's like a carbon Chatos or a carbon Oshlam, which is not bo ben edim and adobah. Carbon Shlomim or carbon Ola, carbon Tosa, you can volunteer whenever you want. But a Chatos and an Oshlam and a Pesach are not bo ben edim and adobah. So whenever we say that that he doesn't have to give him carbon tax, but Shane means that he's not allowed to then. As long as he doesn't have to, then the din says that he's not permitted to bring the tzedek shein. But it's not, you cannot volunteer a tzedek shein. So that's the assumption of this din. Now the Gemara has the following shaila. What happens if I'm an old sick man and I can't even eat so much meat, even if I'll try, I can't eat the kazayis of meat? Or what happens if I'm tomei? I'm not permitted to eat any of the tzar ha-korban. So what happens? So let's say I participate, I pay my money, I become a member of a chabura, and they're going to be makro the Kodesh Pesach on behalf of 100 people, and I'm one of 100 people, and at the time of the Hakodesh HaKodesh, and I eat tomei, so I know at the time of the Shrikas HaKodesh, at the time of the Shrikas HaKodesh, I know in advance that I won't be able to eat from the tzar ha-korban. I'm an old sick man at the time of the Shrikas HaPesach, and I know that I won't be able to eat a kazai. Just nibble a little bit of Kodesh Pesach, you're not yaitzeh. Like to nibble a little matzah, you're also not yaitzeh, because then you have to have a kazai's matzah. And Marlon also, you're not yaitzeh, just nibble a little bit of matzah, you have to eat a full kazai. Kazai doesn't mean so big, a kazai means a half an egg. It's the volume of a half an egg. Not a large egg, we usually buy large eggs in the store. But then if it's a kazai, it's a half of an egg, of a base of egg, of an average size egg, that's a little smaller than a big egg, medium size egg. The Lord of Yehuda has a big chumer, which many of the other parts should be there. Yeah. We can talk about it on Shabbos. I don't know Yehuda's part. So the din is that what happens is at the time of Shkita Sapesa, at the time that the din makir the Korban Pesach on the day of Tam Yigdosh, I participated in, I paid for my share of the carbon, and then walking this carbon on behalf of all the 100 partners in that carbon, and one of the partners knows in advance that he's not able to eat. He knows he's going to have to fly out on a business trip to Erev Pesach, he won't be there. Or he knows he's an old sick man and he can't even eat a kazai. I know that he's coming. He's not permitted to eat a kazai. So we talk to our other that the only time you don't bring Pesach Sheni, and then let's say by the time it comes a month later, the 14th of Iyar, he really does feel better. The 14th of this, he's an old sick man. Well, to be he feels better, so he's able to eat. Or by the time it comes a month later, Pesach Sheni, he is taller. He's no longer taller. Or he flies back.
Can he count as a beginner?
So the din is that he's not allowed to be counted as a beginner. The din is that the only time you can be in the moon on a korban and Pesach that they should be marking it on your behalf is if you're really locked in it. If you feel at the time of the Shrikas HaPesach that it looks from the viewpoint of now, great 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it looks like you will be able to eat the gazayas tonight. You're healthy, you're well, you're sober, you plan to be here, you're not going to fly away. Then, even if some kind of an onus, something comes up, I'll be yikre, an onus occurs, and I become somebody, or I get sick, and I have to fly away, and I can't do the afilo, the thing is that since I did participate in the shikas HaPesach, I don't have to bring a sense of shame, and then if I don't have to, I'm not allowed. But what happens if at the time of the Shrikas HaPesach I know already in advance that I won't be able to eat the Korban Pesach? Then the din is you're not allowed to be Mamuna on the Korban Pesach in the first place. And even if you did participate, it doesn't count. You weren't yoyse anything. No, you don't talk to the other guys. You are not yoyse, and you have to bring that Pesach home. But this Tana disagrees. Rabbi Anderson is of the opinion, that's what he's more. We don't talk to him. Rabbi Anderson is that he's a minority opinion. What I just said so far is Mishnayot. And must have a whole series of Mishnah. And Rabbi Anderson disagrees with those Tanaim, who is a contemporary of the others. He lives in the time of the Talmidim, apparently. He disagrees. He says, the Tanya, the second line from the bottom of Daphne Malach on the day. The Tanya, they quote it right. Rabbi Anderson, I met. Rabbi Anderson interprets the person, same person that the Shulchan Aruch was speaking about. He has a different comment on the post. Minayim, how do I know from the Torah? She called herself Kulam. All the entire Jewish nation. What's the population of the Jews now? A few million people, no? 13 million? Can you them? So many. So the Gemara says, hey, Rabbi Anderson claims that all 13 million can be yoked by bringing one Korban Pesach. How many kazeis are there in one Korban Pesach? You don't have 13 million kazeis. So he's of the opinion that even though at the time of Shechitas HaKorban, it's physically impossible for the people who are Mamuna on that carbon to have a kazai seat, because if I don't have 30 million shares, nobody's going to get a kazai. He says it doesn't matter. Minay, and how do I know from the Chum? She called Israel, Kulam, the entire Jewish population, Yotzim, they can all be Yotzim, the Pesach Echad, if they bring one carbon, Shenehemai, that's the top line of Mamzei, the Pesach Echad, the Shachar also called Tahala, that's Israel, they who are going. The entire Jewish population should share the carbon Pesach. So he asked the same question that Yeshua Makarta asked, So we learned last week, but it leads into a, he gives a different answer. It leads into a completely different direction and a different conclusion. So he asked the question, does it mean that everybody participates in the Shechita Sakkot? Only one person. You're not allowed to have more than one person shech. If you're a shech with an kulin, not a korban, and look, it's a big fat animal, and one person is not strong enough to push the knife back and forth, so you can have a few people holding onto the knife and pushing together, and the din is that the shechita will be good, as long as they do it properly. But in korbanos, it might be allowed to involve it, but only one person is permitted to shech the din. So how can the pasuk read? It doesn't read straight. The shech goes, of course, how about that? You know, right? Everybody shechs it. You're not allowed to have that. But hello, in a shirk of the effort, only one person is permitted to do the shirk of the carbon, of any carbon. Ella, but the pasuk cannot mean, cannot be translated literally, that everybody participates in the shirk. So we had a comment before we said that the one, let's say you have 100 people participating in one carbon pesa, a big fat carbon, you're going to have 100 tzedakim. One person does the shirk, they're representing all of the other 99. And that's the source of the principle of Shiluch HaShulam Kimoyt. So the one who's doing the actual Nais HaShita is the Shliach on behalf of everybody else. That's what the Tana Rabbi Shul Ben Korcha said before. And the Gemara quotes of Yenison claims that the Pasuk is driving in a different thing. Ella, Mikan, in this Pasuk, he'd be like, Shekol Yisrael Yerzim Mitzvah Chachad. It doesn't mean that everybody does the Shita. No. One person does the Shita. But everybody is Nemuna on one carbon that one person is going to share. And the question is, well, how can we have 13 million Jews Nemuna on one carbon? But that's what Rashi comments, because Sova, the top line of Rashi, and that's them based, because Sova this time has every opinion, we don't talk like him. His opinion is, Achilas Sovim Lay Me'akwa. We also talk to Achilas Sovim Lay Me'akwa, that's the Gemara, but we talk to him differently. If at the time of Shita Sakorbin, at the time of the Zika Saddam, the person was worried to have Achilas, and even if something pops up in between the Zika Saddam, and Achilas, and it turns out that he never has the Achilas, the din is that he was yaitzed the shechita tzatzeka for his own needs, and he's not allowed to bring a pesach sheni. But this time he's talking about a different case. He's talking about a case where it's impossible to shach hashita that it should lead up to achila for anybody. He's going to divide in 13 million shears, no one's going to get a kazar. This time of holds, it doesn't matter. You can be yaitzed shechita tzatzeka, even though it's built in. The shach shechita is known in advance that it'll never lead up to achila on anybody. Only the zrikas adam l'chud. Only the zrikas adam means the dalar avaris adam, the four avaris. That's what this time is.
The point is the
time, though,
there are various things
that talk about counting
each one
of the sets,
the
Mishnah Chayim, the Levites, the Vaisim, the Pumbles. Why is God talking
about it?
It's meant that
everybody
can have
on one
set. No, you're not allowed to do Hatchili. You're not allowed to do this because you have... This time also agrees. Sure, this time also agrees that there are two mitzvahs. Like we say, we possibly have two distinct mitzvahs. One is Shechita Korban, you should eat a Bala Korban. And one is Achila Korban, you should eat it. And we also talk to Allah that the Achila is not the Achila. We have a condition. We have a clause over here. The Shah Shechita should be Reil Achila. So this Tana denies even that clause. He says even at the time of Shechita Sakorban, you are not Reil Achila, you're going to the Mitzvah of Shechita. Even though you're not going to the Mitzvah, you won't be going to the Mitzvah of Achila. But once you're going to the Mitzvah of Shechita, it's supposed to be shown, then you don't bring later on the Pesach Shem. That's what he's saying. That's what this Tana is. But he also brings it only to the other. Mahakhili, you're not allowed to do it. Mahakhili, you have to arrange it in such a way that you shouldn't have so many partners in one chabur, in one certain pesa, that each one shouldn't get a kazar. You have to be able to get a kazar. Everyone has to be able to get a kazar. And you're not permitted to, you're also reason, you're not permitted to include as one of the members of the chabur a person who is unable to eat a kazar. Let's say a person is old and sick. And he's not able to eat his eyes for me. Well, he's able to eat his eyes, but it's going to take him so long, he won't eat his eyes test to do Achilas Pras. The thing is that if he eats his eyes, I'll have a half of his eyes now, and I'll wait for an hour, and I'll have a half of his eyes later. So the thing is that the two half of his eyes are not included together. Let's say on Pesach night. We mentioned before, on Pesach night, the thing is that you have to eat his eyes of Master. But the thing is you have to eat his eyes of Mother. So let's say the person will say, the Brach Alachilas Master, he'll live in a little bit of Master now, and later a little nibble some more, not then later a nibble some more, and all of the nuts in the meal will turn out to be a kazayah. That's not sufficient. You have to consume, you have to swallow this full kazayah, the volume of the half an egg of matzah, you have to consume it first to the Achilas Pras. That's a certain amount of time, 2-3 minutes or so, a pretty short period of time. And feed it within a certain period of time. So here also, it says in the Gemara himself, what if you have an old sick man who is able to eat a kazayah for the meal, but it's going to take him a half an hour to eat that kazayah. So the Gemara says that you cannot, he may not participate in, even in the Shechita Pesach. You're not allowed to count him as one of the members of the Chabura on the Korban. because that means in effect that he's unable to be kazayas. To be able to have the ability to be kazayas means you can consume the entire kazayas within these 2-3 minutes. If it's going to take you half an hour to eat the kazayas, that means you can't eat the kazayas. So the Gemara quotes this Tana. Rabbi Yehudah is posing the same question to Rabbi Shua ben Korcha. How can a person say that everybody should have to come back? It's not true. You're only permitted in Korban, you're only allowed to have one person do the shita. In shita school, we allow many people to hold on to the knife, as long as they do a good job. But in Kachim, the Gemara has a public in Kulin, only one person is permitted to do the act of shita. So Rabbi Shua ben Korcha answered, even though in actuality one person is doing the act of shita, but I'll see how lawful we consider it is, all of the people who are Bali HaKarv had appointed, they all appointed him as their Shia. So this Shluch HaShalom and Kamoso is if everybody had done the Shita. This is the source of Shluch HaShalom and Kamoso and Shita's Kabbalah. However, the Gemara asks now, according to Rabbi Yonatan, who asked the same question as Rabbi Shulam and Korcha, how can you translate the part of Shita? The Shachta also called Kahalat himself in our volume. That's the entire Jewish population, chefs, everybody chefs the Korban, it's not true, only one person chefs it. And he doesn't give the same answer as the Rishon Lakov, that one person chefs on the head of the other, and it's based on Shluch HaShalom and Kamoso, so it's considered as if everybody had chefs. He gave a different answer, yeah, not the Pasmarkin. He gave the answer that the Yebed is all 13 million Jews. You can shoot from one carbon, even though no one's going to get to eat the designs at all, it would all be Yerzeh, the Shechitah HaPesach, and nobody would bring any type of shape. So the Gemara asks, according to this Tana of Yenison, how does he know Shliach Tukachim in Olay? How does he know the principle of Shluch HaShalom and Kamoso in Shechitah HaKorban? Because we said before that there were three Tukim that teach us the principle of Shliach. One was by giving a get out of the Shliach. The husband can give the Shliach the get and the Shliach will give it to his wife. He doesn't have to give the get in person. The second part was regarding HaKrosh's Truma, that the father doesn't have to be Makrish the Truma all by himself. He can appoint him on Shliach, and the Mashiach will be Makrish Truma his dear. And even after having these two psukim, we still need a third pasuk that allows shlichus by shlichus korban. So the Gemara asks, but this is only valid according to Rabbi Shulam ben Korcha, who says that's what the pasuk means. But according to Rabbi Yonatan, how does he know that we should allow shlichus by shlichus korban? Maybe since korban is more common, has more kedusha, maybe we should insist that you need doctor that the Talat Korban should do the shlichus first. So the Gemara asks, you know, then how does he know the din of shlichus? So the Gemara answers, me, nay. And the same pasuk. The same passage that says that 13 million Jews can be shushed in one of their all, they're all constituted one big chabur. And we know that they only allowed one person to chef in korban, not the same as behemoth kulin, but many people can hold on to the knife. And shechitas kashrim, only one can hold on to it. But the din requires that everybody has to participate in shechitas hapesa. We have 13 million shushed, so obviously, we see also the shluch HaShalom Kamoso. So the Gemara asks, that's correct, but it only proves part of the situation, only proves part of the problem. The Gemara has this problem. Take, for example, the problem here. I appoint you as a Shliach to sell my house. I happen not to have a house, but let's say I don't have a house, of course you can't sell. Let's say I would possess real estate. I appoint somebody else as a Shliach to sell it for me. And my real estate agent goes and he sells it. He finds a customer and he sells the house to him. So the Gemara says that there's a major problem over here. You don't even own the house. So what do you mean you made a kinyan on my house? You don't even possess it. So you're making the kinyan. It's not ridiculous. If you're not a ball of what's on the thing. If at least Chashmi would have been shushed on the house, and he would sell a house, and I give my shushed to right, I appoint him as a shift to sell my half also. So he goes and he sells the house. But since at least he's a violin, he's a ball of on his half, and he has the right to make a mechir, he has the right to make a kinyan with a lekeach, with a custom on his half, he has the right to sell my head without my consent, without my authorization. So if I authorize him as a shliach, so I authorize him, and since he is a pirate, so his mighty king would have been a mighty king anyway, except that it would have only been a mighty king on his head. Now that I authorize him, so his mighty king is on my head as well. But if I pick as a real estate agent, an outsider who's in guns and not a pirate, he doesn't even have a chelik of shliach in the real estate. So when he makes the mechir, he sells the house for me. In more times you have to have a very clear-cut pasuk that says that you can have Shluch HaShalom Kamoso. Because what then? He would have said that since he's not even a Bailam, he has no shaykhus at all with the whole thing. So the whole act of the king is garnished. Not only that he did it without authorization. There's a bigger problem. One is not a Bailam, but he makes a kinyan, when he makes a mechira on the property, it's not called a nice mechira at all. So even if with authorization, it shouldn't be any good. So the Gemara says over here, according to Rabbi Yonatan, we just arrived at the following conclusion. We have a pasuk that says that the entire 13 million Jews in the world today, can participate in one carbon pesach, which one person will share, as representing all of the 13 million. So we see that there's a principle of shulchan shalom kemos. So the Gemara says, but not so clear. The Dilma Shani Hakam, maybe that part is different because this way should be the Garayu. Because the one who's going to do the Shrit is also going to be one of the 13 million. We've all been the Muna on one carbon pesach. Maybe if you're going to divide the 13 million in half, let's say there are only two bands in the world. We're going to divide. 6.5 million Jews are going to be the Muna on one carbon pesach. And the other 6.5 million Jews will be Shutzin and the Chabur on the other carbon pesach. Maybe in that case, we wouldn't allow the shaykhit of one carbon to be one of the partners in the other carbon. Maybe you would only allow one of the shutrim to do the shaykhit. Because at least he's a shutrim anywhere on the carbon test. He has the right to do the shaykhit of a carbon because it's all a carbon. The only thing is, what right do I have to do the shaykhit on your behalf? You didn't authorize me. So the Torah says, if you authorize me, so then shluch shalom kemosah. But if the chalal, you're not even a shutrim on my carbon, you're a shutrim on the other carbon. So you're not even a bindim over here. So when you do the shrita, it'll be a good shrita, but it won't be shrita as bala carbon. So the Gemara argues, we don't know shani hatam. Right, the din is that you don't. The din is not true. The din is that you don't have to be a, you don't have to have any shrita to the law.
Right.
But most of the time, it's the Kohanim Sheh. Not really, no. The Zohar says that they never let Kohanim Sheh. They always insisted on a Zohar, because the Kohanim are supposed to be holy men, and it's not like that they should kill even animals. Human beings, other than that. They shouldn't kill the... Shouldn't kill
animals.
Right. No, it's not...
They took the raffle. They took the Kohanim
Sheh. Right. That was only done by Kohanim. Right. So the Meiri and Yuma points out that question. How come... The Kohanim made a pious, they drew lots for us, they had a gold roller, a hot roller. Which Kohen will be zochet to do the shechita? How did they corner over here? How did they make such a deal? Why wasn't it open to the public? The din is a shechita of karbonis is k'sher b'zah. The Hakam only Kohanim had an opportunity to do the shechita. Why didn't the zah roll that a chance? So the Miri points out another issue of humor where it says how the Seder Avodah was every day, that they made a chumrah in karbonis tzibur. The Karbanis Tzibur, they only allowed Kohanim to do the Shechit. That's what it seems from the Mishnah. Karbanis minimum is tough. But private Karbanis, it never says anywhere in the Mishnah that Dafki Kohanim. In fact, the Zohar says in Parshas Vayikra that they have Dafki and non-Kohanim. They would Dafki have a non-Kohanim.
And
Yom Kippur, the Gemara has in Yumya, Machlekes Rav Shmuel, where the Shechit Ekshere Bezar on Yom Kippur. That's a different question. That's an interesting question. All year long, we say that Shechit Alav Averdi, although the Shechit is the first of the four Averdi Saddam, but we say you don't need a Kohen to that. It's a different kind of an Averdi, and you don't need a Kohen to do the Shechit all year long. Even by Korbanos Tzibur, you don't need a Kohen. The Chumra, the Miri says, the Chumra, that they insisted that they only had a claim to the Shechit. And Yom Kippur is a Machlokes Rav Shmuel, what requires Kengol? Is it Avodas Yom Kippurim, or is it Maaseh Yom Kippurim? There were things that he did on Yom Kippur that were not all Avodas. So the question is, what about the things that were not Avodas, that they have to be done by the Kengol as well? Namely, Shechit would be one of them. So that's the Machlokes in the Gemara. We pass the Nikarazim, the Shechit is shared bizarre, even on Yom Kippur. Even on Yom Kippur, it's a non-claim. It's a Goyshef, it's no good. Goyshef, it's no good. But if a Zar, in a sense, a lady or a Kohen Gadol or a Yisrael, anybody other than the Tengol, any Jewish person other than the Tengol who will shech the Korbanos on Yom Kippur, the din will be, the evidence will be good. And it's the same lechatchila as they had all year long on the Tzvirim u'Musafim, that all Korbanos Tzibush and Hashchit is done by a Kohen Lavke, they had that on Yom Kippur also, they should be done by the Tengol Lav. You should do everything. But Mikir Adin, it's Machlokes Rav Shmuel, Mikir Adin, the Gemara comes to the conclusion that even on Yom Kippur, the Shechit is shared with Zar. Even a non-Kohen, not only a Kohen Hedges, even a non-Kohen can share all of the Korbanos on Yom Kippur. But L'chatchila they didn't allow. So here we have like this, you have the Pasuk by Ger, the Lama Shutzim and the wife, there's only one person married to the woman, so if they appoint the Shliach to give the Ger, obviously he's giving the Shliach over to an outsider. He's not giving it to the half-husband, he doesn't have any partner in being the husband of the wife. So by the Haprasha Tumo also, the Pasuk Shad is that he's appointing a Mashgiach, who's not a Shutzim in the farm. He's appointing an outsider to be his shliach to be Marcus Shum. But the Gemara said, if I would only have those two psukim, the prophet that allows Gerish and Ayla Shliach, and the prophet that allows Haprash Shum Ayla Shliach, I still wouldn't know that we allow shliachas by Karbonis, because Karbonis have a higher Kedush, so we learn the Kedush. Karbonis have more Kedush, so I would have insisted that we need Dafke that the shita should be done by the Bala Karban in person. So that's why I need to talk. But the Gemara now asks, well, you still haven't sufficiently proven the matter. Maybe the Pasuk only allows it to do a Mashiach Yehoshua, maybe that Pasuk is different. This way should this be Gavayu. Because when there's 13 million Jews or Shutzman on this Karban, one of them is going to share this, at least. He has a Shaykh for the Karban. He is a Bala Karban. He has a right to share for himself. But he cannot share on behalf of all the other people without their authorization. Fine for them authorizing, he'll be their Shliach. However, what if you have a case? Well, I'll bring my own carbon, and I'll appoint you as my shliach to share the carbon for me. How do you know in such a case that shluch shvarim kemos the works by carbonis, where the one is doing the act, where the one is the munah, the one is appointed as a shliach is in constant and outsider. You're right, you know it by the guest, and you know it by the truman, but you still don't know it by kochim, and the pasuk that was the third pasuk that we saw that the clinched only proves half of the story. The Pashut shot, he's the only one who says like this is Rav Yehuda and has this interpretation as a prophet that all 13 million Jews are shutzim on the one card. I'm sure the Kaaba didn't say like that. Right. But the Pashut shot, according to Rav Yehuda Kaaba, means that everybody's going to bring 100 people are going to count the Yemuna and shutzim on one card and 100 people on another card and so on. And then it doesn't insist who should be the shliach. But the pashtun says whoever the shliach is, shechta on behalf of everybody. So the simple meaning is, even if you're point, a non-shutter, not one of the members of Yuchaburah to be the shliach. But according to Rabbi Yehudah, that the pasuk is referring to such an instance where all 13 million Jews are counted as shutzim on one carbon, but then the Gemara says that the pasuk itself is only speaking about a case where he is not one of the shutzim. The way he sets up the pshat and pasuk, he's one of the shutzim. So the Gemara says he's going to need another pasuk. You need another pasuk to prove that in Korbanos we allow you to appoint a shliach who's legamei not one of the Balei HaKorban. Where do you have another pasuk? So the Gemara says that'll make halacha. Okay, we have another pasuk. Here's a fourth pasuk. We have two, one by Gerd and one by Truman, and we have a third one by Korban Pesach, which only proves part of the story. And we need a fourth pasuk. The pasuk says Ikhla Hamish Zela Beis Avos Zela Boy. It says in the pasuk that they should buy the Ikum is Mecca. They should buy according together the Shutzim. How did one become a Bala? How do you become a Muna as one of the members of the Chabura of the Korban Pesach? You pay for it. When the Korban Pesach was purchased from the Goyim, who's selling it, for whoever's selling the Vayner, the Korban is purchased on behalf of all the 100 Shutzim, on behalf of all of the Bnei HaChabura. But you don't have all 100 people coming and giving the money. They all collect the money together. One person goes to the Merchel HaBeheimer, and he gives him the cash, and he buys the Vayner as representing all 100 people. But the Gemara says, here is an instance of Shlucha Shlonim Kemoisai on behalf of the whole Chabur. So the Gemara says, no, but that also means, how do you make that? One person says, oh, here are 100 people, let's all get together, we'll all be shutzim, we'll buy carbon pencils together. But one person collects all the money, he goes to the merchant and he pays the money, so he's right to one of the shutzim. He's one of the people who's buying the carbon pencils on behalf of himself, and on behalf of the other 99 people. So the Gemara says, it still doesn't prove anything, Bedulma, Shani, Nami, Hasam. Maybe there is also limited to the situation where the one who's doing the Ma'isah Kinyan, the one who's buying the behemoth from the Ma'isah behemoth, is one of the Shutzim is going to be one of the members of the Chabur. How do you know that a complete stranger can collect money from 100 people and buy a carbon for the 100 people and he's not going to be one of the Shutzim? He won't be one of the Bnei HaChabur on this carbon. He'll participate in a different carbon pesa. So the Gemara says no. So then what you're saying is that's the pshat, the trade kroy normally. So what do I need to do from telling me that both by shita sasesa and by purchasing the carbon pesa, when you purchase the carbon pesa on behalf of 100 people, that's how you make them all mamunin. They all become mamunin on the carbon by the fact that it was purchased by everybody together, on behalf of everyone. You want to say, what do you need to do to say the same thing? That you allow shlichas by purchasing the carbon pesa, and you also allow shlichas by shita sasesa. So must be, the main alimian, the hecha, the shayach, if I don't need the pasuk to teach me that shlucha shavolim kemoso is acceptable, it's allowed. In an instance, hecha, the shayach, where I have a shayach and sotis, where I'm also one of the shutzim, one pasuk really teaches me that. Why do I need another pasuk to repeat the same idea? In another case, one is by shita and one is by mecca, by God, it's the same principle. Principle applies equally. So must be, the main alimian, I say that even though the pasuk may perhaps be referring strictly to a case that he is one of the shutzim, one is the shliach, is one of the shutzim himself. But I don't need it to tell me that case that he can allow, we allow him to function as a shir. So I'll say that the extra pasuk must be teaching me that we allow the shliach to act on behalf of all of the other, on behalf of the entire group, even if he himself is not one of the shliach moli. Good. So we have already four pasukim. We have the pasuk by the get and the pasuk by the shulma that we allow shlichus, and we have two pasukim by korban pesach, one by the shlichus hakorban and one by the mekka, by the purchasing the korban. And in both cases, we allow shlichus, and the reason why we have two pasukim is not because of any svara to distinguish between Shechita and Mekach is actually basically the same thing. The reason why I need two psukim is to tell the Hechad, the Shayach and Hechad the Loshav, whether or not the Shliach is a Shukim. They can still function as a Shliach. Greg the Gemara, but who says that the extra pasuk is extra? You tell me that you have two psukim, I call them Tessa. One by Shechita and Tessa, that we allow Shliachas, and we repeat again in another pasuk by Mekach, by purchasing the Karim Tessa on behalf of all 100 people, that you allow shlichus, and we're bothered with the question, why do you need two shlichus to say the same thing? So it must be, it tells me even if the shlichus is not a shlichus. The Gemara says, no. The second pasuk I need for something else? Hi, Nibayale. But the Gemara asks, but I need that second pasuk for a different din. The kid of Rav Yitzchak, for the din of Rav Yitzchak. The Om Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak has a din. Ish zoche, v'lo hakvatan zoch. The pasuk says, yikcholahem ish zela beitzava. One man should buy, you don't have 100 people going to come to the shop to buy a behemoth, they're all going to make the Mashiach together. One man collects the money from all the 100, and he makes the king on behalf of the 100 shuktim. So the Gemara is a diet in the public, ish. Only if the one is buying through the shlichus, he's a bar mitzvah. If he's not bar mitzvah, he cannot act on behalf of the other people. A kapa, or a kana, a boy or a girl who's before bar mitzvah, before bar mitzvah, cannot serve as a shliach for anybody else. And he cannot do zocher, ultimately, he cannot do zocher and yodim shleid ufanam. Zocher, we're going to have to discuss what zocher and yodim shleid ufanam means when someone does something on behalf of somebody else when he was unauthorized. Let's say, I haven't authorized you to sell my house, and you decide on your own you're going to sell my house. You have no right to do that. You can't sell my property without my authorization. But what happens if there's a meshugan that comes into town, and he's giving out $1 million, and he says he wants to give $1 million to Shechter. The Shechter's not here. So he says, David says that he'll be worth $1 million for Shechter. If it is, that guy's nuts. He wants to give him a ton of it. And the Kabbalah Matana is not here. If it is, Yachal Yadim Shleid Ufanam. He can act on my behalf to accept the gift. I never authorize him to act on my behalf. So the Gemara says like this. If when I come back into town, and I find out that he has accepted the gift of $1 million and this nuts, and I say, I don't want to have anything to do with it, he's going to shoot him and give him back his money. So then the Gemara says, if I'm mocheh, the first thing when I find out I'm mocheh, I say, I don't want it, then the din is that the Zohar and Yadim Shleid Ufanam falls apart. He acted clear as well. But if it's a time that I'm not around, it looks like I probably will want it. Who doesn't want $1 million? So it looks at the time that you're going to act on my behalf unauthorized. I didn't ask you to do it for me. But it looks like it's something that I would want to have. If you decide on your own unauthorized to sell my house, or to buy property from me, you're going to go to the bank and withdraw $1 million to buy a house from me. Who says I want a house? I'd rather have the money in the bank. If it's unclear at the time that you're going to act on my behalf without the authorization, if it's unclear whether you're doing me a favor or not, then you have no right to act on my behalf. And you don't say, well, let me go ahead and do it. You don't say, let the fellow go ahead and do it, and I'll have the brain. If you say yes or no, if I say no, I'll break off the act as well. You don't say that. It has to appear at the time that you're acting on my behalf that it's going to turn out to be a solution for me. And then later on, I'll have the option to say I don't want it. That's the principle of Rav Yehuda and Shlomo Gershon. Let's say I want to free my Eved Kanaimi. The Mishnah hasn't given an example. I have an Eved Kanaimi. So I want to free the Eved. So if the Eved is here, I'll give him the Shifa Hazima. The Eved is not around. And I'm in a good mood today. So I say, I'd like to free my Eved Kanaimi, but he's not around. So if someone grabs the opportunity and says, okay, I'll represent the Eved Kanaimi. You just write the Shifa Hazima. I'll write the Shifa Hazima. I'll give it to you. You will represent the Eved to you, and be considered, you're accepting the Shifa Hazima, be considered as if the Eved had accepted the Shifa. So then we talk like that, Zohar and Yadim, Shleid Ufanam. Because we assume that every normal Eved would probably want to go free. Now when the Eved finds out that he was just free, and he says, but I'd rather be named an Eved, he loves it so much, he doesn't have the responsibility of getting married, he doesn't have the responsibility of making a living, keeping bank accounts and so on, and life insurance, he'd rather be named an Eved. Because if later on he has the beer, he can say he doesn't want it. He can, later on he can be my friend. But at the time that you're accepting the Shah Shifa for you, it looks very much that it's something that he would like to have.
Yes, now he has the right.
By a get? And later on when he finds out that you were Zohar the get for him, if he doesn't like it, he says, I don't want it, then he breaks up the whole Shah Shiva, and he's not free. Let's say, however, I decide I want to divorce my wife. My wife is not around. So I'll write the get and I'll give it to someone else, and I said, you pick up the get, I'm giving you the get, and you should represent my wife. So the dinner said, that's no good, because we normally assume that for a woman to get divorced is not something that she's needed to have. And either she's been screaming for the last 15, 25 years, that, well, I'd like to get rid of you already, I can't stand you, and so on. But the Gemara says it's probably not so. Just because you think it doesn't mean anything. Unless it's such a rare instance, that it's really, really clear cut that it's really a good prayer, then in such a case, we do have a guest IEDZ. We do a guest IEDZ in very rare instances. In other words, it's human olive. We have the following case. Let's say a man is married and his wife runs away. She's living with somebody else. And she never got a guest at all. So she's living in sin, and any children she'll have will be not there. And every time she's living with the other fellow, she's living in a veil of Diyasejusish. And he's a curse, and he's an Issa. So in such an instance, the Shulchan Aruch says that you don't have to consult her. That the husband just has to get his place at the right again. If he can get the wife, he's either getting person is otherwise. But let's say if you think that there may be problems getting the wife, so then you get the Shulchan Aruch has the same problem. You get a place to write a get, and the husband gives the get to somebody else, let's say to the rabbi. The rabbi represents the woman. That's the situation in Zohar and Yadim Shlaz in front of. We assume that when the woman is living in sin, when the wife ran away, she's living with Goyim, that's how they describe it. So they live with the Shulchan Aruch, they couldn't visualize the wife should run away and live with Jesus. So the only case that they have was the right, the wife became a Mishareta. She slipped to live, the wife runs away, and she's living with Goyim. So in such an instance, it says in the Shulchan Aruch that we allow, I guess, how they dictate, we assume that it's a Zohar Leon Mishlevich one, we assume that that she would certainly want to get the guest. Of course, later on, if you notify her that we did a big favor, and the husband gave the guest to the rabbi representing her without consulting her because he knew that this is in her best interest, which it is, according to the halakha, it is in her best interest, and she finds out about it and she says, I'm not interested, don't do me any favors, I don't want any religious divorce. Then she breaks up the gift. Because the din is, whenever you do a Zohar Leon Mishlevich Chanukah, when I want to give someone $1 million gift, and he's not here, and I give it to you to the day of Purim, and then when the fellow comes to town and he says, I don't want the gift, give it back, so the din is that he breaks up the whole act of Zohar. And he also, if you tell the woman about it, that we did her a favor, when the Zohar did get for her, and she finds out about it, we tell her about it. And then she's unhappy, she expresses her displeasure at the fact that when the Zohar gets her, then she's going to ruin the whole garrison. So in a situation where you're afraid that if I notify the woman, she'll express a disinterest in it, then you don't even notify her. And it's best not to notify her. You're never allowed to divorce your wife by her. It's always an aveira. It's always an aveira to give a get by her. Except an aveira, if a man divorces his wife against her wishes, he's not a fair. Right. It's an aveira. It's certainly an aveira. You're not allowed to do it. If you went ahead and did it, so you're not in favor. Then again, you're not at all, but the fellow's in favor. It's quite a nice. But it was always an aveira to give a get also. So let's say in such a situation, let's say if the wife ran away, she's living with somebody else, and the husband wants to do his wife a favor. He wants to do his after her again. He wants to do himself a favor. He wants to remarry. They violated the Kerem Darabin Negeshim. If he already has one wife, wants to take himself another wife. So for instance, it's a Kerem Darabin Negeshim not to take two wives. The first, he wants to divorce his first wife. So he'll write a get and give a get to the rabbi or to someone else to represent his wife. And even though the wife never authorized the rabbi to represent her, she never appointed him as a Shia. Nevertheless, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, and nevertheless, it's in the Aleph, but in this instance we say, Zohar Leon Mishlevich Chanukah does apply even to a get, because since it's an umdinah, that it is in her best interest to get the divorced. She's not allowed to go back to her husband now because he lives with someone else. Intentionally, not to show that he's amazed that she's resigning to someone else. So she can't go back to the first husband, and when she lives with him, she continues to live with other people. Every time she does, they're not there. So the best thing for her under the circumstances is to get a get. It's the only thing that's good for her. So in such an instance, we would say, Zohar Leon Mishlevich Chanukah. So what happens, let's say the husband writes the get, and he gives a get to a child, a boy or a girl, who's before bar mitzvah, to represent the wife. So that's what the Gemara says, Ish Zohar, V'lo HaKotan Zohar, that one is before bar mitzvah, cannot represent somebody else. If I'm married to a girl, if someone is married to a woman who's not bar mitzvah, he can divorce his wife, if he gives it a different person. A katana does have a yad. A man, and the chutzpah has to be set on it. He said, man married a girl who was not bat mitzvah. How did he do that? The girl's father married her. She learned from the first mission. But up until the age of 12 and a half, if the father's alive, someone not 30, he can marry off his daughter. So let's say the man married off his daughter, they're living for a while, a couple of years they're living together, and then they decide to get divorced. And then the husband can give the jet to his wife and divorce her by giving it to her in person. Even though she's still not bat mitzvah. It doesn't matter. She has to be a certain age. She has to be old enough. I understand what divorce is all about. She's a year and a half old, she still doesn't understand what it's all about.
Can you
give it to the father if somebody's got the position? Not after the suit. After doing everything, she can give it to the father. But if she's already in the suit, everything is the first step in getting married. Just in the living room, see how we have the possessions. So the woman is an Eshishish, but she's still the day top. She's still the day top here. After you have the suit, that means standing under the chuppah, then her whole contact with the father of the din is gone. She's still a father. Right, and Allah considers her the friend of the Chai Yodir. Even though the father is still alive, Al-Fidin, she's no longer the Shus Yodir. So the Mishnah, the end of the Quran, calls her the friend of the Chai Yodir. Allah considers her that she were the friend because she's no longer the Shus Yodir. So if the Nisuin, we don't allow the father to expect to get on the end of the Quran. Do everything. If she's a Naila Hamurasa or a Ksana Hamurasa, the get can be given to the father. But if she's already yes, and soon that we don't allow her. The get must be given basket to her. So even if she's only, let's say, 10 years old, she's not that to see yet. As long as she understands what the institution of divorce is all about, then the get is good. So here the Gemara says, but if I will give, let's say, the husband wants to divorce his wife, or they daughter, the case that we get, let's say the wife was Mazana with somebody else, she ran away with her daughter. And the only thing left for her to do is that she should get divorced. She's not going to go back to the first husband. And she can't live with the second one, and the only way to hayus is to give a gift. And she's not around. So in that instance, we say, Zachon Yadim Shalai Zafana. So in that case, who does the husband give the gift to? He has to give the gift to someone who's passed on. If he'll give the gift to someone who's a man or a woman who is before Bar Mitzvah or Bat Mitzvah, that will not be acceptable, because Allah says, Ish Docha, Velo HaKotan Docha, Kotan or Astana, before Bar Mitzvah, before Bat Mitzvah, cannot do an act of itself on the other slave is on the head of other people. No, not really, no. Let's say the Nisonim themselves are before Bar Mitzvah, so they cannot sell a bar. Let's say they're very young. Other older, but they're not Bar Mitzvah yet. So I mean, I'll tell you they cannot sell. So then you appoint an apotropos, which means an older person who is a bar down. But here's the opposite case. You have a katan representing a gadol. The trouble is the reverse. We have a gadol, a mature person who understands what's going on, and the guardian representing the tzaddik. So the gadol, the one who's older, is doing kinyanim on behalf of the tzaddik. Here we're talking about a case that the kohen wants to represent the gadol. The wife ran away, she's living with a goy, and you want a little kid before bar mitzvah to receive the gift with the principle of gadol yad shloim upon on behalf of the wife. So the halacha says that before bar mitzvah they cannot function as gadol. We cannot do an act of zochin to somebody else. There is an exception to the rule, though, where we do allow zochin. When you make an error, let's say in a bungalow colony or in a city, wherever you make an error, so the dinner should have to make mechitzas around the area, to declare it as a reshus hayachid. After you've declared it as a reshus hayachid, then you have to get rid of the nochin. The dinner said if they were going in the neighborhood, you have to go rent a home from all of the goyim. So you have to rent from every goy, then from someone who will represent all of the goy. Then after doing that, then you still not finish. That's not really called the eruv. When you make your fence, and you make your the person around the city, those are your mechitzas. When you rent from the goy, you're taking them out of the picture. Then when you put away your box of mountains, that's in the mission, that's called the eruv. The eruv means that every Shem Shabbos in the bungalow colony or in the community, wherever your eruv is, every Shem Shabbos has to give a matzah, and they all put all the matzahs all together in one person's home. So it's considered it is, it's one big happy family. The role is there, and some of them happen to be sleeping and eating in their own home. Basically, the role is wherever the box of matzahs is. So normally you don't do that. Normally, let's say if you have a big community, you don't make an error. You don't have every balabos go bring a matzah. You don't have 13 million matzahs. You don't have to have a big container there to hold all the matzahs. What you do is you have one person buy a couple of boxes of matzahs, and he gives these matzahs over to someone else, and I ask you, pick up these matzahs, make a kinyan habibah, pick up these matzahs, have in mind the kohen shittus to acquire a partnership and ownership on your behalf for yourself, if you're a member of this community, if your home where you live is within the area, and on behalf of all the other Shem Shabbos who live there, now we're going to move in until next phase. That's usually the way you say the news. So normally we should say, that the one to whom I give the Bach Samachi to be Zerich HaMilyas himself and HaMilyas of all the other Shani Shabbos, you should normally say that that person has to be Teh Bar Mitzvah. Because you cannot give it to somebody who is accustomed to it before Bar Mitzvah. So the Gemara points out in Gittin that we have a Mishnah that says explicitly that by Erev we make, since the whole requirement for the Master is only the Rabbanah, the requirement for the mechitzis around that's not in the Rabbanah, that's real business. You have to have real mechitzis around the area, otherwise you won't have any shvitayot. But the need to put away the Baal Samachis, that's only the Rabbanah. Since the whole need for the area has there is the Matzis. In Yiddish you call the poles with the string sometimes, you call those the area. That's the Yiddishism, but in the Mishnah, in the Talmud, the area means the Matzis is put away. The Arei means to blend everybody in together to be considered one happy family. That's Eruv. Eruv. To be blended in and mixed in together. So the Gemara says, since the whole Yisra Erev in is only the Rabbanon, so the Chachamim will make, and they allow a Kotan to be there on behalf of the Gedol. So we allow, as you give the Bach Matzah to a child, a boy or a girl who is before Bar Mitzvah, or before Bar Mitzvah, and tell them that they should have in mind to become a Shittus for themselves, or for their family, and to become a Shittus for all of the other Shem Shabbos in the building, or in the community, whatever the area happens to be made.
This is why
I have made in my building we make an area. So I keep the boundaries in my heart. But my kids like masters, so they keep on eating up the masters every week. So every Friday I have to buy more masters, I have to make an error. So the Mishnah says that I can't use my own kids. I have one child who's passed by Mitzvah and all the others are before by Mitzvah. So the din is I'm not allowed to use my own children. Not those who are before by Mitzvah, not those who are after by Mitzvah. Because since they all eat by me, and I pay for them. So the din is anything that they're paying there goes to me. If they find them a sea in the street, it belongs to me. Even the children who are passed by Mitzvah. If the Smuchan al-Shulchan Avim, if the father, the parents are supporting them, that the Messiah that they find goes to the father. The Mishnah says in Erevin, and the Mishnah goes to the Messiah, in the first Teres, that they're not supposed to be Mizaka and Erev by giving the Bach Samachis, that I buy Bach Samachis in the grocery shop, and I'll give it to one of my own children, that's like taking the Bach Samachis from my right hand to my left hand. So what I have to give it to the kids, well, I'll pick it up myself, and I'll say, this Bach Samachis, I'm here by the insider, on behalf of the only other Shem Rishabim. The Mishnah says that's not legitimate. The Mishnah has an error in the following expression, Ein Adam Zofer Ali De'atma. I cannot be there on behalf of the others by myself picking it up. The first step in the Kingdom of the Talmud is that the object should leave the Rishus of the Moshe. And then it has to leave the Rishus Morakam. Then it has to enter the Rishus Morakam. So I have to give it away to somebody else. I can't take it from one hand to the other and say, I just picked it up on behalf of everybody else. And never left my Rishus. I have to say it entered into your Rishus. I have to give it to you. Once I left my Rishus, and you picked it up for yourself, then you can pick it up on the hands of everybody. Or even if you don't belong to this group. Sometimes I have a visitor on Friday, so I'll give it to the visitor, then he should be kind of the shushus for all the Shem Rishabbos in the building. That's legitimate. So I cannot give the Erev to my own children, whether they're Bar Mitzvah or not, because they're Smuchim al Shulchani. But my ex-neighbor has children, some who are Bar Mitzvah, some who are not Bar Mitzvah. So the dinner to his children I can give it, even to those who are not Bar Mitzvah. Because when I give it to them, it's not like taking it from my right hand to my left hand. So I take it from my hand to my neighbor's hand. But the children I told about the next neighbor's children, I told them is Mitzvah on behalf of their father. It's a good thing. Their father is not Mitzvah. I'm me and their father is someone else. So in that instance, the Mishnah says that we allow even Stanim. If I give it to some child, not one of my children, give it to someone else's children, even before Bar Mitzvah, we would allow it because the Holy Spirit is within our bonus. But the basic principle is in normal situations, we say, the zachen must be done after by ish. Ish means a person who is passed by mitzvah, and not by a kotan before by mitzvah. Sure. Shulchan Aruch couldn't visualize such a thing that a Jew should live with a woman who never got a get. The days of Shulchan Aruch, they couldn't imagine. Same thing.
So you got two kids.
Yeah. Same thing. So the Gemara now presents this kasha. We said what we need, in addition to the truth sukkim that features the institution of shliuchos by get, and the institution of shliuchos by hafrosha truma, that the former appoints a mashgiach to be machash truma, we need an additional truth sukkim to teach us shliuchos by korbanah. The one part is by the shliuchos of korban, one part is by the purchasing of the korban. And the reason why we need truth sukkim, why one is not enough, because one part it could perhaps be limited to the case, with Isla Shus is the Gavaya. Isla Shaykh is the Gavaya. So he is one of the Shus, and he is one of the members of the Chabur. So that's why I need an additional process that teaches me the main meaning of the Hef of the Shaykh, the name of the Hef of the Loshaykh. I need two. So the Gemara says that you don't have two Sukkim, because one of those two Sukkim is needed. The Yitzchalahem Ish is Ish Tzat Lekosah. That means it's only a different din. Not to tell me that I allow Shluchu Shalom Kimos. So by purchasing the carbon, that pasuk is needed to tell me this principle. That ish zocher, shlo hakotam zocher. That tells me the other thing, that when you're doing the zocher l'rod and shloi b'fonah, the one who's doing the zocher has to be a bar mitzvah. You cannot have a kotam act on behalf of somebody else with the principle of zocher l'rod and shloi b'fonah. Even if it will be part of the Chavur, we still won't allow him to do the Zechir for the others, right? Doesn't matter, even if he is part of the Chavur. So he has a different side cash, he has a company. This is Rav Ashver, this little place is the Chavur. Yeah.
According to the
Chavur,
where they said
that
he took
the one
where
he took it, and one where he died, and then that I will have a Chavur. No, the book took him out really speaking when he is a Chavur. But the Gemara says, but I don't eat two stuff to tell me the same thing, so no, Indian, since I don't need a puppet, a second part to tell me the same thing, so I say, since it takes the puppet, it must be Merameh to be taken when he's not a shush. But really, the Pashuk Shad, Gemara in Pesach is, that the both people must speak when he is a shush, because Rabbi Anderson says, the Pashuk Shad with all 13 million Jews became shush from one carbon
tax. The first puppet has to be shush. The second puppet didn't get it.
Right. But since it's an extra puppet, as we say, it's probably alluding to the instance when he's not even a shush. But he's not a shliach, and still he can serve as a shliach. So the Gemara said, but you don't have that extra pasuk. I need that pasuk ish to tell me ish prat l'katan, that a katan cannot be zocher. So the Gemara says, no, that principle, that a katan cannot do the zocher, that's safe, that a chanak, your husband, will write to get it. On the head, this wife will run away from him, she's living with somebody else, and sin, that he'll give the get to a katan or a katan, it's no good, you have to give it after to a person, either a man or a woman, cast on it, but that is representing the wife. And over here, that I know from a different pasuk, the Gemara says. Ahu, that halacha is derived from a different pasuk. It says, ish l'fiyachlo. So since it says ish, it's ish prat l'kotin. The Gemara says, me ish l'fiyachlo nafke. That principle that ish prat l'kotin is derived from a different pasuk. So therefore this pasuk of ish must be telling me that one person represents everybody else and it tells me that they're a shvir. So the Gemara says, but we still have a kasha, the akatim, the boyilai. But I still need the pasuk ish to tell me a different word. Not ish, one person represents everybody else based on the principle of zochem and the other shlo b'fonah. But I need this pasuk to tell me the following halacha. Regarding carbon pesach, it was mentioned several times tonight that there is an institution of chavur. The special din by carbon pesach that's not found by other korbanim. Let's say the group of people decide that they want to bring a carbon shlomim together. They want to bring a carbon ola together. Fun. So they all buy the carbon together. And whoever pays for it is considered one of the partners, he's one of the Bali HaKarbon. A carbon pesach has something more than that. Allah has considered them more than a plain shushtus and bringing its carbon. There's a whole institution of chabura. And it has special demons. You want to talk about special demons in connection with this new institution of chabura. So the Gemara speaks so much about the institution of chabura and it's derived from Sukkim. So the Gemara raises the question, what's the din? If one person is a big fat guy and he enjoys eating a lot of meat, he plans to eat up a whole carbon pesach. He's going to eat, he takes a little lamb, he's going to share his carbon pesach, he wants to eat the whole lamb, everything all by himself. Doesn't want to share it with anybody else. You're not allowed to bring a carbon in such a way that you won't eat up all the meat, because it will become no stuff. The carbon pesach, you have to eat everything by chatzot, by midnight. You're not allowed to leave it over until the morning. It's initial, that's the same medicine. You have a takana that won't?
If you burn it,
that's not takana, yeah. You have violated the Iga Beira if you left it over, but like a Janus who stole has a mitzvah the Haitian Tagbeira. That's called Laha Mitzvah. Once you've done the first Tagbeira, then we give you a mitzvah to do to patch up the Iga. Like you're not allowed to steal in the first place, but one who stole has a mitzvah the Haitian Tagbeira. So the Chumash says, it's an Aveir, but it's a Sirim and Adar, you're not allowed to leave this way, show us from the Chum Pesach, to left the Chazol, so if you did it, then we tell you, look, at least, what's left over, you should burn. That's called Lav HaMitik Lav, the Aveir that you have done, you have the ability to patch it up and to undo it a little bit by doing the next mitzvah to that one, but you're not allowed to lead up to that in the first place.
Are you only supposed to meet the
Pesach as well? Yeah. Al-Azova. Most problems. So let's say the guy has eaten for a couple of days and he's starving. Once he bring a whole tiny little carbon, would we allow that or not? Can you bring a carbon test up? There's no chabur over here. There is no chabur. Normally a carbon is either a carbon ola, a carbon shlom. Either you bring the carbon on your own, or if you want to, you can bring it to shushtus. Is there anything?
Yes, God,
you search the public that instead of having all of you that said, I have a family, you have to come with me together.
Yeah.
You search it
as they don't have to come with me together. If my wife doesn't get along with me, she can sit and live on somebody else's curb paper. My children want to eat with their bed.
There's no restriction for persons to make a
film. It doesn't have to be doctor that the family eats together. Normally, all family eats together. So the question you might raise is, what happens if one fellow wants to eat all by himself and all carbon paper? Is there an insistence on Dr. having a habur that it must be both a habur and a yachid? Ain't shirk in the zirk of the tafesach halayachid. We don't allow a carbon paper to be offered by a private person. It must Dr. be both the shirk, Dr. with a habur, or no? It's the same as any other carbon, like a shlava or no, but you can either bring it all by yourself, or you can bring it to habur if you choose. So that's the machlokes of Satan Oyin and Stavna. The sheikh and the zerk and the tafesa chalayochid, or any sheikh and the zerk and the tafesa chalayochid, do you allow a person to bring a carbon tafesa all by himself if it looks to the people in charge of the Beit HaMikdash, the Quran? If it appears that he will not be able to eat it all up, so they definitely wouldn't allow him to bring a carbon tafesa on his own. They say you're going to violate our veil, let the student may not break here. And once he's the only one who's the Kala carbon, and he has 50 ramshaks left over there, he's not allowed to give to anybody else. Because Pesach may only be eaten by people who were counted in as shuftim, as members of the chabur of the group at the time of the Shechita Kapor. So if I have left over lamb chops in the Kodesh Pesach, I'm not allowed to give it. I can't say Kodesh and Kodesh of the Eight of the Yitzchak. You can't just open the door on Pesach night and say, whoever wants, come in and eat in Kodesh Pesach. That's a fact of kasha that many of the reporters discuss on the Haggadah. In the beginning of the Haggadah, we say an expression, Kol dichtin, whoever is starved, coughing means hungry, whoever is hungry, yei seriach, you should come and eat. So that's very nice. I'm inviting in the poor people who are hungry, you should come and eat. That's acceptable. But then you say, Kol dichtin, whoever needs, carbon pesach, he's not starved, he's not hungry, he has food. But Kol dichtin, he needs the carbon pesach. Yei say, let him come, be yitzah, let him participate in my carbon pesach. That's against Allah. The Allah says the Pesach is in a matter of error of Luya. You're not allowed to give the carbon Pesach to someone who wasn't Lemule, who wasn't a member of the Habur at the time of Shechita Pesach. On Pesach night, when he opens up the door, it's too late to start inviting people to become members of the carbon Pesach. It has to be Lemule before the Shechita. That's Kashi.
And there wasn't
children before. Right. Doesn't mean anything. Okay. Doesn't really mean it. Sure. The same as the first expression. Yes, to be echo. Yes, to be substantive. That means the environment to eat food. Doesn't mean to partake of the context. Yeah,
okay.
The simple way. The Chagiga is also machloket, but it's necha shalom and nuya. The Chagiga is a normal Chagiga, and any other type of shorts, which are any answer. But the Chagigah that's brought on Pesach, there were two Chagigahs on Pesach. One is the Chagigah that's brought on Pesach. So that you can give to whoever you want. But the Chagigah that's brought on Yud Dalet, that's Chagigah Shabbat Osor, on Erev Pesach, that's a special Chagigah, that's the Machloket Tachanan himself, whether that's only Nechel or Lemluya, that it has the same restrictions as the Korban Pesach. It has to be broiled, you can't cook it, you can't roast it, it has to be broiled. Or not, that's the
Machloket.
With one Chagigah, it doesn't have to be there, because there's no Pashlum in a Chagigah. If you didn't bring a Chagigah, I'll say, so you don't have to bring a Pesach Sheni Chagigah. The only thing that they're talking about is if you didn't bring Chagigah, the four things are Pesach. You have to make up on Pesach Sheni. So what if you brought it, you're not going to become Pesach, and you knew at the time of the Shechitas HaPesach that you would be unable to partake of the Achilah. So when you get to the HaKrozeh, so that you don't have to bring Pesach Sheni. So he's asking you, have you accepted that problem? I'll be honest and say you are. But regarding the Chagigah, it doesn't matter. There's nothing to make up. He didn't bring it to you, Dalit, he said, you just don't bring it. There is no Chagigah. I'm telling you. So the Gemara presents this question. The Gemara, the Akati, the Boyle, how do you tell me that they still have two extra psukim to teach us the two principles of Shlich and Vashlich and Patenta? One is when the Shlich himself is a prophet and he's come back. The one is even if he's not a Shlich and he's come back, if he's not a Mamuneh, take the Gemara, but still Akati, the Boyle, but the extra prophet is Ish. Yikolahem Ish, the elevate service, I need it for a different din. The Shechem is Patenta Halayoch, it's Ish. That if one person insists that he is able to eat the whole Kodim Pesach and the Kohanim thinks that he's able to do it, it looks like he needs it. If he can't eat up the whole Kodim, he wouldn't let him do it all by himself. Because he'll turn into Nosa. So he'll be violating out there, unless he's giving him in our book of leading it over till the morning when he'll become Nisqal believer. But if it looks like he is able to eat it all by himself, and he wants to be all by himself, he doesn't like to eat with other people, do we allow him to bring it on his own and not as a Machleki Satanai? So the Gemara asks, but don't I need that Pasuk to teach me the Akata Niboyle? Don't I need that Pasuk to teach with Ikol and Ish to elevate Tavu to teach me Shechem HaPesach Ala Yochid, that we allow a Korban Pesach to be brought without a Habur? One person can bring a Korban Pesach all on his own without any Shechem. So that Pasuk is already needed for something else. How can I use that Pasuk to teach me another thing? Ish, that one person represents all the others, that Shmuel HaShvarim can also. So the Gemara says, well, the Tanaim that we're quoting over here disagrees with that opinion. They hold, and for the Gemara, Sabolot and Mandioma, this Tana holds like the other opinion, Ein Shechem HaPesach Alayo, that you're not allowed, you don't allow a person to bring a carbon all on his own carbon pesach. All of the carbon is an old and a shlom, and he can either bring by himself or bring the shutra. But a carbon pesach must have a habur. It cannot be bobby off. Pesach Rishon. Pesach Sheni can be bobby off, the Pesach Rishon not. Pesach Sheni, let's say everybody got the Pesach Rishon. Pesach Rishon is offered on new dollar business. And only one person was sick. One person was Tomei. One person was Zerah Bechoko. It was far away. So he didn't participate in Pesach Rishon. I'm Pesach Sheni. So only one Jew in the whole world wants to bring Pesach Sheni. So the dinner that he would allow him to bring Pesach Sheni, provided that he's able to eat it all up. He has to bring the skinniest lamb that he can find, and then he has to be able to eat it all. That's prayer for a week before. No bar mitzvahs, no weddings, no meals. That's the first of the week, he'll be able to eat. All some Pesach Sheni. So Pesach Sheni, they all agree. Martha's himself and Asher, and the Zerachim of Pesach Allah Yavit. Pesach Sheni doesn't have to be bought the chinuch. It doesn't have to be bought the chabur. You can bring him all on your own. You're the only person in the world that didn't participate. In Pesach Rishon, you didn't have Pesach Sheni. But Pesach Rishon, and all of a sudden Pesach, that's a new dollar mission, and Erev Pesach, Pesach HaTov, that's supposed to be bought the chinuch, the Gemara says in Yom. That's supposed to be bought by everybody together. It's supposed to be b'chabur l'chatchil, all the time on your knee, you should have a chabur. Each and every carbon pesach should have a chabur. The shayla is, if one guy parashim says, he insists that he wants to bring all by himself. Do you allow him to be made the alayah, all by himself, provided that it looks like he'd be able to eat it all up? So that even, and even then it's a machlekes and he passes that not. Again,
nobody wants to invite him to work to the
rest. Why don't they want to invite him? Because they don't like his eating habits. So the Mishnah says himself, and let's say we have a whole group of 100 people, and some people eat more than others, or they chew with their mouth open, or whatever. They have the other people don't want to eat them. So the Mishnah says, the Gemara says himself, what do you do with the problem every year? So the Gemara says that they split up, they give the guy his chelik, and they say, hey, you didn't pay, you didn't have more, and that's all you're going to get, and we're not going to give you anymore. We're going to divide it. Right in the beginning, we're going to divide it, and that's all. Then the Gemara discusses there, are you permitted to eat the carbon pesach in two different rooms or not? So you eat it in one room at a different table. Machlekes Tanaim, are you permitted to eat the carbon pesach in two rooms, one carbon in two rooms? Okay, so the Gemara gives the answer. Rabba Lotte Mandioma, our Tana, Rabbi Yenison, holds that the other opinion, the Ein Shechem and the Zerachim of Tanaim pesach alayim. So we've solved all the problems already. We already have our fourth sukkim that teaches us all our halachas. The pasuk by the guest, but the husband can give the guest by the shliach, he doesn't have to deliver the guest in person. The pasuk with the shlomer, being marked as a truma, he can appoint him as shliach. And tuk-tukim as shlikas ha-tabonis, and that covers everything, made it in. Drag the Gemara Akasha, but we have another pasuk, we have a fifth pasuk.
The two for
Kabbalah
is that they can't be a child. That's two.
No, that's another pasuk, that it can't be a child acting as a shliach on behalf of somebody else. The true words, we had a lot of tukimish. We have four tukimish. So the Gemara said the two by the Korban Pesach was one, that one person can act as a shlich on behalf of the others if he is a prophet in this carbon itself. He can shlich on behalf of the other 99. And the other prophet was, even if he's not even Memunah, he's not even one of the Bnei HaChabur on this carbon pesach at all. He's going to bring a different carbon pesach. I can even appoint a complete stranger and an outsider as my Shia to chef my cousin Ben. And that's why I need a tuk-tuk in my Shia to chef. Then I have more tuk-tuk in the Shia, a cousin cannot be a Shia. The other tuk-tuk. Right, that we had before. No, that's you're right. There is one limitation. We don't allow anyone to serve as a shliach in any given case if he's ain't a betarus, he doesn't have any connection with that business. That was the principle that an eved k'nayni cannot get married, cannot get divorced, and he can never serve as a shliach, not in kiddush, not in gerushin. According to the Rav Shimon, that a nachri does not have the ability to be makish truma, so then the nachri certainly cannot serve as a shliach to be yisur to be makish truma. Even without any sufi, even on our own, he's made it the first. But if the kotzim didn't have any strikers to commit to a korban pesach, then we would say he cannot be a shliach without any sufi. But the kotzim has the ability, because it's, the kotzim can participate in korban pesach. So as far as that klal is concerned, the kotzim is the first. I'm a new thing. A kotzim cannot serve as a shliach. Not because he's made it the first. Even though the kotzim is the first, that's right. The new principle. A chair is shows to the kotzim, the one who is al pidin, la ba'adah. Even if he's going to see the genius, let's say. There are children who are 8, 12 and a half, who are brighter, they're more intelligent and smarter and everything. More, they have more special, more da'at, more bina than many older people, but still the halacha declares that any boy or girl before bat mitzvah, before bat mitzvah, is laid on al tibin as a lav by da'at. They put them together with a cheresh, a shelter, because a cheresh needs to be prodded first. Just by definition, cheresh is by translation, cheresh means one of the deaf mute. He can't hear and he can't speak. But it doesn't mean a deaf mute. Al Pidin means a person who gets the post, something like that. Cheir Pidin, Al Pidin means one who's retarded. At times in the Talmud, they have no way to educate a deaf mute. He would be lame, a person who's Al Dabak. So Cheir means one who's retarded. And a Shekin means one who's deranged. He's insane. And a Kotzim means a child before by mitzvah. It doesn't mean they're on the same level as Pechel. The kid who's 12 and a half years old can be smarter than he can be the smartest person in the world. But Allah declares that these three people are Allah and Adar. So Cheresh has the Kotzim, I will exclude this from this Pasuk. Ish from the Kotzim, that the Kotzim can never serve as a Shliach. And also the Kotzim cannot function on behalf of somebody else using the principle of Zachon Yod and Shlei Vifam. Only by the Yeh would be allowed. I need to pick up the Bakhti Masri on behalf of all the other Shomer Shabbos. But the Gemara says in Gittin, since the whole institution of the Bakhti Masri, the Eir, is only needed to do that upon them, so they will make the Gemara for permission.
Is anything to help others
or
to be
allowed to be a You have a lot of coolers and airers that don't apply another air. I think it's only by that chance. The Gemara Goshen is only by air. I don't think we would allow another to do that. I don't recall explicitly, but I don't think it's acceptable. So now the Gemara pops up in a new chapter. So we have another topic. So we have four children that teach us the same thing. The Gemara explained why I needed all four. Because I only had one given, but no the other. That's what we learned 3 weeks ago. Now the Gemara says, well, we have a fifth pastor teach the same thing. The Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded Nosiach, Nosiach, and Mimata Tikhu. Every matzah, there were 12 matzahs, 12 shvatim, 12 trash, shevet, Reuven, Shimon, Yehuda. Levi didn't get a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. But the others who got a chelek, the others who got a portion in Eretz Yisrael, had to have one person to represent them. So that in the days of Yehoshua ben Nun, before they raised the war, it's interesting. The Pasuk says, the Pasuk in Yehoshua says, and the Rambam explains this in of all places in the beginning of the book of Truman. And the Rambam explains what is Eretz Yisrael al Pidin. They explain that Eretz Yisrael is the holy land that is described in Chumash with the boundaries. After it was conquered by Bnei Yisrael, by the Jewish armies, on behalf of Klal Yisrael. If the Jewish armies would have conquered, each section of the army would conquer for themselves, that would be called Kibush Yachid. That's a private conquest. And Eretz Yisrael wouldn't be in the sky to Kibush Yachid. But because of the Kibush Rabin, the conquest was done by all of the armies in an organized fashion, and it was done on behalf of all of the Klal Yisrael, that they're sending battalions to one section to conquer that piece of land, and they're sending sections of the army to another section, to another part of Eretz Yisrael to conquer that part of land. And they had a plan in advance that they're going to conquer Eretz Yisrael. It's going to be, the whole Eretz Yisrael is going to be on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. So how did they make that Al-Tidin? How did they make this Al-Tidin? Allah, that it should be called the Kibush Rabin, and that could be called the Kibush Yachid. But the conquest should be done by all the soldiers on behalf of everybody. You can't have all the soldiers fighting all over. You send a battalion here and a battalion there, and the battalion conquers this day and land, and it's only going to be given to one shaver. They're going to have a goro. They had a goro. They drew maps later on. They had you in the Tumen, and the Vasco came out from heaven and said that this section goes to shaver Ruven. So what do you mean that all the rest of was counted on behalf of everybody? It was counted by everybody. How was that done? So the Rambam in the beginning of Ezra's Kedushin, when he describes where is Eretz Yisrael, what part of Israel has Kedushin, how do you get Kedushin in the first place, how do you begin? Both the Pesukim and Tzadi Yeshua, and he explains what this Pasuk in Bamidbar. Pasuk in Bamidbar, Perek Lamdaled, is very unclear what the museum of each, what the Nasi, what the head of each tribe is representing his tribe for. What are they doing there? It just says when they divide Eretz Yisrael, later, after Moshiach Rabbeinu will die, including the Yeshua Ben-Nun, will cross over the Jordan River, and he's going to conquer it, so we'll divide it. Each tribe should be represented by its Nasi, by its head. What is it going to represent him about? Well, he's a general. That's what, chief general. So the Rambam explains, based on the Pesukim, the beginning of Yeshua, that they drew a map of Eretz Yisrael in advance of all the wars before they lifted a finger to start fighting. They were fighting for 7 years, and they divided for 7 years. Before they began to fight the seven Shevish Kipshu, before they began to fight, they had every Sheva that was represented by its lawyer, by its Nazi, with the principle that Gemara is going to discuss, sort of the principle of Shlichus. Gemara is going to reject that. The first Gemara starts off that that was based on Shlichus. Each Nazi of the Shevet was chosen by Akadosh Baruch Hu by name in Bamidbar Perek Lamadal to represent the Shevet, so to speak, as if he were the Shliach, to draw up the plan, how they're going to conquer the land, and to determine militarily where they're going to send troops, so that the whole war effort was considered as being done by, the war was considered as if it were waged by the entire Palisra. You can't have everybody fighting all over at the same time. You had one battalion here, one battalion here, but because everything was done in advance with a big grand program, so therefore it's considered as if the whole kibbutz was done by all of the soldiers on behalf of all of the shvatim. Even though this section is only going to go to one shade, and that section is going to go to the other shade, but in advance they knew when they conquered the whole land will be divided amongst all of the shvatim, so it's considered as if the whole kibbutz, the whole conquest was a kibbutz rabbi, done by all of the By Paul Yisrael, and he has a Paul Yisrael.
This was picked by Rashi?
So the Rashi picked them by name. He told the name Yisrael.
You're right.
The Gemara backs out. The Gemara first says that it's Shnei, the Gemara says, no, it's Apotropos. Like an Apotropos that there's an appointment. Like a guardian, right. The first thing you're going to quote that is Shlichus. You're going to back out. In the first line, after the Kashi, you're going to realize that it's not true. So the Gemara asks, we already have four Pesukim that teach us all of the combinations of Shlichus, the Truman, and the Get, and the Karbon Pesach, with a Shlichus, not a Shlichus, everything is covered. Greg, the Gemara, the Elohad, the Omer, Rav Gidlom, Rav. The statement made by Rav Gidlom in the name of Rav, he was a student of Rav. He said over in the name of Rav, how do you know me now? You know, Shishloch Hashwarim Kimmel, so how do I know from the Torah that he can appoint the Shliach? Shinamah, as it says in the Torah, not Yechem, me Master. Every tribe had one person representing the Shevet. So you see that the people represented the Shevet as a Shliach. Great big Gemara, basically Shliach is not Hacha. What happened to all the four Pesukim? We just spent the whole block of Gemara figuring out all of the Pesukim. So everything is covered from A to Z. What do you need? Another Pesuk. But the Gemara said exactly what you said. That's not a Din of Shlichus. It can't be a Din of Shlichus. The Tizburah, the Gemara says, stay for a minute. The Har, Shlichus too. Is that a case of Shlichus? That the Nazi, the head of the tribe represents all of them is that Shevet, based on the principle of Shlichus? No. V'achtanim la b'nei Shlichus ninu. A cotton cannot appoint the Shlichus to function in his
behalf. And how did Yeshua fight against Rosh Hashanah?
That's a good question. We touched on that before. The question is whether the Ksanin and the children before Bar Mitzvah who participate in eating it because of that, do they have to be Memunah or not? So the Gemara has a machlokes. The Gemara has an opinion that they don't have to be Memunah. Although a person who tests Bar Mitzvah is not allowed to eat from Kam Tetzach if he's not Memunah. Same in Echel Elulimri, it's an Easter. It's an Avera to let him eat. A cotton before Bar Mitzvah, the Gemara has a machlokes, maybe he is permitted to be. To eat in the Karbon Pesach, even if it's not the Mitzvah. The question is, you hold the other way, so then you have to give a different definition of meanly. It's a very good kasha. The answer is a complicated one. Kasha is better than the answer. The answer is very complicated. It's a long Achayin, as I remember, my whole discussion at this point. How did Ksana become a Mitzvah on the Karbon Pesach? It's a major problem in Sukkot. No. See, before Bar Mitzvah, not Mitzvah anything, but it's the father's responsibility to see to it that his child eats the Karbon Pesach with him. So the Gemara here is, the Gemara here is Akashe. But then Lamai says the father does give his child to eat. So the question, how can he give the child that he's not Mamuna? The one opinion is that he doesn't have to be Mamuna. But the other opinion is that he has to be Mamuna. How can the kid be Mamuna? He has one person buying the carbon and he's the hit. The person is a Shia. No, but you can't be Mamuna. Al Pipasis Mamuna is a Jewish shukus in the carbon. When it was bought, he was one of the
shukus. Like an extension of the father.
It's a problem. So the Gemara here asks the kasha, but I have another part together, six parts that speak about shlichus, namely when the Nesim represented all the members of the tribe in dividing the whole land before they waged war, that the war would be called the Kibush Rabin. So why do I need this part? We know already the principle of shlichus shlomo kamosu. So the Gemara answers, no, that has nothing to do with shlichus. This is Baruch, think for a minute, the whole shlichus too. Was this an instance of shlichus that the Nasi represented all the members of the tribe? Based on the principle of Shluchas on Tumas, it can't be, but Haftarim Rabbanei Shluchas Minu, there were many members of Eli Shevet who were not by Mitzvah, and one of the Kotam, we learned before, he cannot serve as a Shliach on behalf of somebody else, nor can he appoint somebody else as his Shliach to function for him. So how can the Nasi represent the Nasi is of course by best way to by Mitzvah, he's a mature man. All of the same were mature people, but how can they represent Stalin using the principle of Shluchas on Tumas, or Kotam Zalab by Shliach, who cannot have a Shliach function on his behalf? Elohim Mori says that must be that topic speaks about something else and has nothing to do with Shlomo Shlomo. So the Gemara goes into a further discussion. We'll have to continue with this Gemara next week since it's just complicated. We'll have to read this Gemara again slowly to see exactly what's going on here. Okay, I just have a explain a short comment on a parasha. In Parsha Vayishlach, we read the way Akkadosh Baruch Hu told, in fact, it's Ayesha, we read the way Akkadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov Avinu that he must go back to Eretz Yisrael. He's a foot forward long enough. And it's on his way back to Eretz Yisrael, Hashem tells him again, Vayom Alotum Al Yaakov, Kum Alei Beit Zel V'Shev Shom. You should go to Beit Zel. What's wrong with where he was before he was in Shechem? What's the Shechem that he was in Shechem? Why did he have to go to Beit Zel? Ba'atei Shom Mizbeach. You should make the Mizbeach there where he promised he's going to make him Mizbeach. So the Ramban has a much interesting comment that today we know that Eretz Yisrael has the borders that are described in the Chumash here. But we're just learning now that it has the Kibush Eretz Yisrael. So they conquered the whole area, all of the soldiers together conquered the whole area on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So it's called the Kibush Rabin, done by the Klal Yisrael on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So it accomplished the Kibush Yisrael. In the days of the Yavos, the Goyim Achmani Yavos, the Goyim was living in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael had still a Hashivas with Eretz Yisrael. It still wasn't the same as Chutzot. The Ramban has a comment on Chumash, but not all of Eretz Yisrael had that much leg. Only those sections that were inhabited by Jews. There are Sheva they lived in, Hebron they lived in, that's a few sections. Shem, there were no Jews living in Shem. There were only the Goyim were there. And then the Torah says the way they killed out all the Goyim because they started up with Zina. So the Chumash tells us that Hashem Yisroch called out, you should go back to Beit Zel, you should go back to the Jewish part of Eretz Yisrael. The Goyish part, if you would live in the Goyish section of Eretz Yisrael, this man ha'avai, you wouldn't really be fulfilling this mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. In those days, only certain parts of Eretz Yisrael had a status in Eretz Yisrael. So the Torah tells us that when Yaakov heard this from Hashem, that he should go back to the real center of Eretz Yisrael, he told all the members of the household, Vayom Yaakov al-Beisav al-Kala Shalimo, he told all the members of the family, Hasirat al-Hei ha-Necha asher v'seichem v'hitze ha'ol. They should all get rid of any Avodah Zorah that they happen to have in their possession. So the Mephoshim comments over here, what are they doing with Avodah Zorah? What in the world are they doing with Avodah Zorah? Was they worshipping Avodah Zorah? They must have picked it up in Shechem. Good. So what do they do with the Shechem? They had just walked out to the city Shechem. They took all the properties, and some of them must have been gold and silver. Why should they leave it there? They may as well take it. Either the Shechem is Avodah Zorah, is also Bahano. You're not permitted to gain any benefit out of it. So what are they going to do with it? So it's interesting, the Pasuk says they collected all that Avodah Zarah that they had, they gave it to Yaakov, and what did Yaakov do with it? So what does the Halacha say you're supposed to do with Avodah Zarah? So the Mishnah had the whole description of Avodah Zarah. You have to grind it up to find the little particles and throw it in the wind or whatever, you can burn it, throw it in the sea. Whole discussion that he raised, the duck in the sea, a duck in the wind, which is better, whole sugya. He doesn't do anything like that. He just says that he buries it. But he's going also Yaakov Pam Toeva. Hashem Shani buries it under a tree instead. So the Ramban and the Sperm are both there. This is not the proper way to be Yetzir and Mitzvah. Aber Yizor Misham Sheh, Eilam Min Hamid Barim. You're not Yetzir and Mitzvah, you just bury it in the ground. Bata Bechalov is Min Hamid Barim. If I have Bata Bechalov in the cross, I'm not, you throw it in the garbage. But if I have Aber Yizor, I'm not Yetzir, I just throw it in the garbage. You have to destroy it, you have to crush it to tiny bits, and if it's wood, you have to burn it. If it's metal, you have to grind it up and throw it in the ocean or do something with it. The Mishnah in the end of Tura, the next Mishnah describes all of the lists of all of the Yisrihamra, and it says that some of them are min hamidbarim, you just have to throw it in the garbage, get rid of it so no one in your household will by mistake be nana from it. And some of them are min hamidbarim, they have to be destroyed, they have to be broken up, chopped up into tiny pieces. So the Ramban says, why did Yaakov bury it under the tree? Aber Yisrael is not min hamidbarim. Aber Tashi, hey, the fire is all aloha matalayam, you have to crush it with tiny particles. What is he doing here? So he gives the answer, Sahamira Eli, and the Sparno suggests the same interpretation, that before they took it from Anshe Shem, they must have gotten the good to be Mevatel the Avodah Zarah. The thing is that Avodah Zarah is only also Bahanah, as long as the people who worshipped it never made an official declaration that they no longer believe in it. So what's the deal if a Jew takes that piece of Avodah Zarah, he declares, I don't believe in it, so help me. The Jews never believe in Avodah Zarah. Even if he does believe in Avodah Zarah, Allah says that we don't allow Jews, based on Sufi in the Holy. You don't allow Jews to make beetles on Avodah Zarah. But if you get a good, it can be involved with Avodah Zarah. Any Nachri, even a Nachri who never used to worship this Avodah Zarah. Let's say one Nachri worships one Geshti, another Nachri worships another Avodah Zarah. He doesn't hope in his Avodah Zarah. This concept doesn't hope in that. But the very Muslim, let's say each one doesn't believe in the other one's Avodah Zarah. So if I'll get one doctor to make a declaration, I don't believe in that Avodah Zarah. I can never believe in that Avodah Zarah. It's a hafazit to this Avodah Zarah. So the one says it doesn't matter. As long as he's not a Yid, as long as he's a Nachri. If he makes a formal declaration, I do not accept this as an Avodah Zarah, the Yisr Hanah that I had before falls off. So the Ramban and his son both suggest that they think the Pshat must be like this. Yaakov's children, when they took a lot of their booty from the city Shem, they also wouldn't want to take Avodah Zarah, which is off the banal. They wouldn't want to violate the laws that would be given later by the Torah. So they must have gotten a Nachri to make an official statement that I don't believe in this object, I don't accept it as my deity. I don't believe it as an Avodah Zarah. When they make such a declaration, make such an announcement, I'll be doing strictly speaking that Avodah Zarah is not with the banal. So that's why the children took it, and it's Mutter. So Yaakov, now that he was told back to go back into the center of Eretz Yisrael, even though he's in Shem, it didn't have yet the full din of Eretz Yisrael. Later, after Kibush Yehoshua, all of Eretz Yisrael had an equal Kedushas. But in the days of the Yavos, the Ramban points out, Achon, you see, that only certain spots in Eretz Yisrael, Beisel and Chevron and Beersheba, only where the Yavos lived for a long while, had an Indian of Eretz Yisrael. The rest of the parts of Eretz Yisrael were like, had more or less the status of Chutzlars at that time. So now that Yaakov is coming back to the center of Eretz Yisrael, he says he wants to be more Machmir. He tells his children, even the Avodah Zarah, which is strictly speaking, Mutabahanoah, because you've got enough with to be Mubatulah, I want to get rid of that also. Because we're coming to the Iker part of Eretz Yisrael, and a chelik of the Mitzvah, Yish of Eretz Yisrael, is Bior Avodah Zarah. We have to destroy all Avodah Zarah. Unfortunately, today we can't do it. You blow up a church, you blow up a mosque, so make a massacre in Eretz Yisrael. The government, the Jews can't do it. But the Chumash, if you read the Chumash in Parashat Re'eh, beginning of Parashat Re'eh, read it slowly and carefully, it says explicitly, the Gemara spells it out in the Sefer Avodah Zarah several times, that the real mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael doesn't come into living in Eretz Yisrael. It means to get hold of the government and to be mivayel of all of the Avodah Zarahs in Eretz Yisrael. And just live there, you have hold of it, you have control of the government, but you have the Avodah Zarahs there also. There's a Saradat Tov, not a Saradat. There's a ministry of religion. They recognize more than one religion. If you have the other religion functioning with churches there, so the Pasuk says that you're not fully yet to the mitzvah of Yish of Eretz Yisrael. So Yaakov was told by Hashem at this time that if you go to the center of Eretz Yisrael where the full Kedusha Saurus was at that time, the outskirts didn't have the real Kedusha, they told the members of his family that they should get rid of even those of the Zoras that strictly speaking had been in Mutabano because they had obviously, they must have gotten enough to do Mavatlid in advance, so he tells them no. since they're coming to the real Eretz Yisrael now, and the Achelet of Yishuv Haaretz is real Avodah Zarah, they want them to be Mevayer even that, even the Avodah Zarah that are Mutabahamah. And then, the Chumash says, Vihi Taharu, and you should become Tahar. What do they mean you're going to become Tahar? Tahar from which Tumah? Which Tumah was this? So the Rambam writes in Hilchot Avos HaTumah, he quotes the letters that we really don't, it's not found in the regular Midrashim, it's one of the obscure Midrashim on this part. We have a Din de Rabbanim, that a Rizorah is Metamei Kenizah. Not a Din de Natorah. In our Torah, that Vadi is Metamei, that Sheret is Metamei. We have different things that are Metamei. The whole institution of Tumas HaVidizora is purely Midi Rabbanim. But the Rambam writes, ignore the Takana de Rabbanim, which was instituted way later in the days of the Tanaim. The Mishnah recorded, the days of the Mishnah they had it already. Yet, we have a remnant to this in the Chumash. And a remnant doesn't come in Hagamatria, Rashtenik, a remnant means that it is observed by Yaakov Avinu. He felt also that there was an Indian of Tumas HaVidizora. It wasn't observed as a din, as a strict din that everybody must observe. But the Indian already began from the days of Yaakov. He already observed this in the Rabbam. He told his children after they get rid of the Avodah Zarah, they need Tahara, they should all go to the mitzvah to get rid of the Tumas Avodah Zarah. They have to get rid of the objects of the Avodah Zarah, but they had handled it beforehand. Before they got rid of it, they were touching it. So they should all be careful in the mitzvah to remove the Tumas Avodah Zarah. And then they should come back to Eretz Yisrael, the real Eretz Yisrael, and bring Karbon and Tamim in there. As Hashem has told.
What was the phrase again about the and we say that Kiddush is one?
Double is Rakhah Lakhah. Kiddush is three and two. You have to be Kaveh with three and the same.